Everybody wanna mug it like a mofo, but everybody wants to try to keep a low pro. We the people really gotta go for broke, though. And mugga, 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 mugga like a mofo. Everybody wanna mug it like a mofo, but everybody wants to try to keep a low pro. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the circus.
Am I the only one who doesn't buy into the lie?
Am I the only one
who doesn't wear in the sky? Cause if I can't break it and I can't change it,
holy cow. Do I look different right now on camera? I look different. Do I look younger? No. Do I look like I took a shower today? Possibly. Do I look like I'm happy to be here? If I don't, I am. I just want to let you know that right now. I love this show. It's Power Packs, 1 hour show. The weather starts getting rough. The tiny ship will be tossed. But if it were not for the courage of the fearless crew, our minnow would be lost. That's right. Welcome to the 4 p.m. edition of the Santilli Report, ladies and gentlemen. Tell you what, we're going to have a busy week this week. And I say, you know, this isn't, there's no pomp and circumstance associated with an event that I've set out to participate in. It's kind of like my civic duty. I want to, in whatever capacity I can, to help bring awareness to the fact that, I'm saying upwards of, if I go by Dr. Peter McCullough's estimates, over 1 million Americans wiped off the face of the map. For what reason? We used to trust the medical industrial complex. And then most recently through COVID, I told my family members that I preferred that if I were very, very ill, do not bring me to a hospital, push me up to the base of something they call the Butter Jesus here in Cincinnati. My choice. I don't want to be stuck in a box being, you know, excuse the expression, pricked, you know, with jabs and remdesivir and stuck on a ventilator and just treated like a little cash register lock picking device. It's all they're doing with these people, that what they were doing through the hospitals. But my guest, Nicole, I have to pronounce the name not properly when I bring her on, Soratek. Hopefully I got her name pronounced correctly. She's widely recognized as the original New York nurse whistleblower who embarked on a mission of compassion and integrity during the tumultuous, that's an understatement, onset of COVID-19 pandemic in May of 2020. What began as a journey to aid those in need within the heart of New York City's healthcare system quickly transformed into a stark confrontation with systemic negligence, medical mismanagement, and a flagrant disregard for human life within inner city hospitals. Happened in rural hospitals as well. But in a moment that would catalyze her role as a tireless advocate, Nicole's impassioned plea for assistance in saving her patients' lives resonated globally, propelling her into the spotlight and the rest of her career being destroyed. I'm sure that the entire medical industrial complex has just done everything they can to destroy her and the other frontline godly warriors that have pushed against this system. But determined to uphold her oath to patient care, Nicole made a solemn vow to relentlessly champion safe, equitable, and compassionate healthcare practices. The commitment led to the founding of American Frontline Nurses, a nonprofit organization dedicated to ensuring that every individual receives the quality of care that they deserve. Isn't it sad that we have to form nonprofits in order to protect patients? Can you imagine? My goodness, my goodness. So Nicole joins me right now. She, Nicole, you heard my little spiel in the beginning. I feel a duty to go down to Houston this weekend for an event. I want you to introduce the event. I've been invited, and like I said, in whatever capacity I can help, I'm going to. We need all hands on deck, because as each year passes, the more we've learned about how egregious their murderous pandemic was. Isn't that true?
Yes. The event is called Hospital Homicide 2, and you can register for the event at www.halthospitalhomicide.com. It's incredibly affordable. I believe it's like $25 for tickets to the event. And on Friday, there's like a meet and greet dinner that's $25. It's all very, very affordable. And we'll have a lot of keynote speakers talking about what happened in the hospitals, what's been done, what we're doing now, and how we're moving forward. So I think it's a really great event. And it's at the Nathaniel Center in Kingswood, Texas.
Right. And and that event, actually, if I'm going to put a link down below, and I want you to click on the link. It's going to take you to the Rumble channel from last year's event. Was that the, were you at last year's event?
No, I wasn't at last year's event.
Did you see Dr. Brian Artis's presentation when he got up to the podium?
No, but I'm familiar with his work with Remdesivir, so I might know a little bit about what he presented about.
It will break your heart. Because everybody loves Brian Artis. He's funny. He's great. Good speaker. He's tireless. But he got up to the podium and he realized he was immersed in a room full of victims, family members of victims. And he himself actually set out on the mission because his father-in-law was murdered with Remdesivir in the hospital. And he hasn't stopped since. But he got so emotional. You can't watch that thing and not really just he literally, it's like he was carrying the weight of how many people would you say have died in New York City? Just take that number alone in your jurisdiction.
When I was there, I'm originally from Nevada. I went there to help out because I knew how to manage ventilators at as a critical care and a flight nurse. Mm-hmm. So I would honestly say in the thousands at mm-hmm. the time that I was there, so much so that we were stacking bodies in the hallway because the freezer trucks were full. So, I mean, mm-hmm. we're talking faster than you could process the bodies.
Mm-hmm. And if you can recall, obviously, you know, there was different circumstances for each individual, but was there a pattern where, you know, they would come in, they'd have, you know, breathing problems from COVID. Next thing you know, you administer Remdesivir, they get the renal failure, their lungs fill up, they go to the ventilator, blah, blah, blah. They're on the death protocol. Everything yeah. per the protocol was advancing them towards the certain death and ending up in a hallway stacked with those bodies.
Yeah. Well, I was there in the first 30 days of what happened in New York in 2020. So the first 30 days when NYC got hit, the first hospital I was at, it was just complete incompetence and negligence. And then at the second hospital, that's where we saw the Remdesivir. And if you look at the original Remdesivir study, there was like 230 some odd people that were in the study. There were substantially more people in that were on Remdesivir than that study admits to. So they cherry picked everyone that lived because, you know, Remdesivir isn't 100% fatal. Even a gunshot wound to the head is never 100% fatal.
Sure.
But they cherry picked whose results got put into the study. And I do have the original research paperwork for dosing for the nurses and the consent forms and everything like that. And I had tried to reach out to the IRB about what was going on, which is the Institutional Review Board. It's kind of like an ethics board for medical research, and couldn't get a hold of anybody. Nobody was listening as to what was going on with these patients. And at the a lot of the time in the very first beginning of this pandemic, we saw that it was just a straight pipeline to the ventilator, because remember, they were fear-mongering on the news that they needed 30,000 ventilators. Well, when you look at the process flow and you're talking with the nurses, so we get on the bus to go back to the hotels or whatnot after our shift, and they're like, man, we really wish we had BiPAP or something and down in the ER instead of having to use the ventilator. I'm like, what do you mean you're using the ventilator on people that don't need the ventilator? And they're like, yeah, you know, if only we had BiPAP. And I'm like, well, you're using the CareFusion 1200, you know, LTV vent. It has BiPAP on it. And I showed him a 30-second video on how to put it into BiPAP mode. He's like, wow, we've been venting everybody for the past week because we didn't have BiPAPs. And I'm like, this is absolutely insane that you put people on ventilators unnecessarily because you couldn't figure out how to Google search on YouTube a 30-second video on how to put your ventilator into BiPAP mode.
Disgusting.
So that's where a lot of this incompetence came from. And then you have people who, like, they thought a nurse was a nurse and a doctor was a doctor. So your school nurses, because the schools were closed, or your OR nurses were now managing ventilators. And I can tell you, having worked as a nurse in the ICU on medical surgical units and things like that, is that your respiratory therapists are the ones that typically manage your ventilator in the hospital setting. I know how to manage a ventilator because I was a flight nurse. So we do that in flight. So they kept calling and calling and calling for a respiratory therapist that was never coming because they never asked for respiratory therapists. Remember on the news, they wanted nurses and then they wanted doctors, but they never asked for respiratory therapists. They assumed every single nurse knew how to manage a ventilator. And you've got critical care drugs and ventilators that these nurses are not trained on. And they're just winging it. And we're wondering why the bodies dropped as fast as they did. I mean, I took orders from a podiatrist, for goodness gracious sake. He should never have been managing a ventilator setting.
A podiatrist. Is that true?
Podiatrist. And there was gynecologists. There were GI doctors.
Wow.
They thought anyone knew how to do these things. And this is what I like to tell people. Do you think an airplane mechanic knows how to work on a semi truck? You know, dude, think of it that way. Do you think your brain surgeon knows how to replace your knee and vice versa? No, they don't. They're specialized.
At what point did you say, wow, this thing is just all wrong? This is just exactly what we're not supposed to be doing here. And I need to speak out about it. There's something going on. And how much, I mean, you're in a career. I mean, you're fully bought in to what the medical industrial complex, right? Everybody did.
I truly thought we were going to save lives. We listened, you know, and then there were things that were just making you go like, why are we doing this? Things that were counterintuitive to how we've been trained for years on how to manage something. Like, for example, they told us to stop COVID. Like, remember, they said, if somebody has a heart attack, somebody codes, you let them go. Remember, it was in the news. I'm not making this up. Please fact check me. You know, even if, you know, your leg got cut off, we were not supposed to revive you. And I'm like, what are you people talking about? We can save somebody if their leg got amputated. You know, we can run codes on people, especially if they're reasonably young. Like, you know, we're not talking like a 110-year-old we're running a code on. We're talking a 45-year-old. I'm like, they have a very statistical high probability of being able to be brought back if they have a heart attack or something like that. And they locked the crash carts. Like, they physically chained them with locks to the supply like shelves so we couldn't run codes. And then when we couldn't get the defibrillators, we're just like, fine, we'll just rip open the crash cart and we'll take the meds and we'll do what we can.
How we're supposed to
with ACLS. And then they took the meds away from us. You know, they took things as basic as ibuprofen away from us. I don't know if you remember on the news where they were saying, because remember we were getting like live time feedback on how to manage this in the home setting, like, oh, don't do this or do this. They told everyone not to take ibuprofen. You know, it was contraindicated with COVID patients. Do you know it's been 4 years and we're still having to correct that misinformation that was put out by the FDA and the CDC?
Wow. I did not know that. All I know is that I couldn't get any ibuprofen, which, well, you know, I always have it on. You know, I've got inflammation. It reduces inflammation in my ankle.
They pulled it from the shelves as an OTC. People pulled it.
Really? Is that what they said? It was a supply chain issue. Wow. And do you think pulling Lysol Do you think they pulled Lysol? Because that went away real fast.
I think there was a grab for Lysol because nobody could get anything to disinfect. And I'll be quite honest, I was a nurse, so I had like Clorox wipes and bleach and all sorts of disinfectants at home because, you know, having been a nurse
right.
and working home health and things like that. I mean, I bleached my apples. I was so bought into it. And then I came back from New York and I stopped it all. I'm like, this is a joke. Nobody's dying from COVID. I mean, maybe a small percentage that were immune compromised or something like that. Uncontrolled diabetics, things like that, that could have possibly died from it. But while I was there, I did not see a single person die from actual COVID.
Just based on your personal firsthand knowledge in the hospitals, I mean, we can only characterize what you just described as intentional homicide.
Pretty much. And because they kept all the staff in like this crisis mode, you know, it's kind of like when you step on an anthill. Ants are very, very organized insects. And they're a well-oiled machine. So when you step on the anthill, what happens? Absolute chaos, right? Nobody knows what's going on. Everyone is scattering and things like that. And that was the same exact situation that happened in these hospitals. So, I mean, we've got people who, you know, I'm gonna tell you, they asked for 30,000 ventilators. Did they ask for 30,000 feeding tubes too? Do you know that when you're on a ventilator, you do have to be fed? Or your body will catabolize itself. It'll break down its own muscles, its own fat, and you become actually weaker. People had to go to rehab to learn how to walk again if they survived. But I mean, how many people weren't fed for however many days and just died from starvation? How many people threw blood clots in their legs because we didn't give them a blood thinner like we do in the hospital, standard operating procedure, or sequential compression devices? So if anyone's ever been in the hospital for a long period of time or post-surgery, you get the blood thinning injections in your belly twice a day, or you get those little squeeze devices on your leg that keep you up all night. Mm. Why didn't we do that? We do that on ventilators all the time, especially if they're going to be on there longer than 24 hours. We start that protocol. It's called a standard, you know, care practice. And we didn't do that. And then we wondered why people started throwing clots.
Nicole, this is the first time. And by the way, I followed everything as a, you know, as a layperson, as a non-medical. I had doctors on. I mean, we were getting our channel shut down on YouTube because we said mm-hmm. ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. We had Dr. Yeah. Peter McCullough actually shut our channel down. So please pardon me for not knowing and being so stunned by what you just said. Is it true? Say this again to me because I'm dumb as a box of paper clips. You said there were orders for 35,000 ventilators and there were not an equal number of feeding tubes available?
Mm-hmm. We did not have the machine. Typically, it's called a kangaroo pump, if anyone's familiar with it. It's a little pump that puts the tube feeding in through your nose or in through your mouth, depending upon which way we put the feeding tube in. Or a PEG tube, which we put through your stomach. They weren't doing those either. You have to feed people, you know, and then on top of that, you're being sedated with fentanyl or some other narcotic medication. What happens when you take narcotics? Well, you end up with constipation. You're supposed to manage their bowel regimen too, or you end up with an obstruction and a perforated bowel. Nobody was managing that.
Oh my goodness.
So there's all of these things. When you're on that ventilator, you're 100% dependent on your nurse and your doctors to provide you with the care that you need to survive on that ventilator, 100% dependent, and it was not being done. So we had people who ended up with perforated bowels, obstructed bowels, paralytic ileuses, blood clots in the legs that, you know, would throw clots to the heart, to the brain, the lungs, as well as just literally starving people to death.
I take it you're going to be there this week, and I'm going to put this event up on the screen. And I'd like to, if you would, I'd like to speak with you while I'm down there as well. The event's called Halt Hospital Homicide. Halt Hospital Homicide Rally. And it's happening this Friday, May 31st at 5 p.m. There's that kickoff event, a meet and greet, questions and answers. And then June 1st, we get together, look at all the speakers that are coming together. Dr. Brian Artist, Ben Marble, Judy Mikovits, Dr. John Witcher, Warner Mendenhall. I mean, just, I don't want to exclude anybody here. And of course, my picture is on there because I insisted, and I had to pay them a lot of money to get that done just because I'm a big ham, and that's not true. Actually, I'm going to be the master of ceremonies to help guide the process, and I'm honored to be doing that. So I am coming down there. It's at one of the most important events. You'll be there, and tell everybody where it's going to be and if they're in the general vicinity to get there this weekend.
Yeah, so it starts May 31st. There's a mixer, and it's only $25, incredibly affordable. Because I know that with the recession and inflation, things are very hard, but it's a great opportunity to come and meet keynote speakers that and find out what we're doing about this problem. How are we stopping it? And it goes on to the first as well with the actual speakers and things like that. I think it's a really great opportunity. It's in Kingwood, Texas. So I want to make sure I say that correct. And you can get tickets at www.halthospitalhomicide.com.
Halthospitalhomicide.com. Look forward to meeting you down there. And I look forward to meeting as many people that's hearing my voice right now. By the way, how did I pronounce, how did I do with the pronunciation of your name?
It's Sirotek, but don't worry. I
Sirotek.
Don't even know how to say my name because it's, I married into it.
That's great. Thank you for taking time out. And everybody that is in the general vicinity of the Houston area, it's going to be at the Nathaniel Center. And give out your website again, your social media. Where can everybody go to stay in touch with you?
You can find me on all the major platforms. Just you have to type in my full name because I'm very censored. And if you ever need to reach out for help, you can reach out to my nonprofit that I started, AmericanFrontlineNurses.org. We're a 501c3 nonprofit, and we work to help people get safe, equitable, and appropriate care.
Thank you for your service to our country and the world, for that matter. Thank you for your courage. Appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. Wow. And I don't, you know, I don't say that with a solemn attitude. We need to be applauding courageous individuals. There's not that many of them. I don't know why so many people within the medical industrial complex have just been going along to get along. You know, remember what happened? We discovered through the Nuremberg trials. They were, you know, they were just doing their job. The train conductor was driving all those people to their demise. Of course, those people, same thing. You know, I guess Operation Paperclip paid off all those thousands of Nazis that they adopted. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take a moment out to let everybody know about our sponsor, Cozy Earth. I don't know if you're familiar with Cozy Earth, but let me tell you about them. As a matter of fact, let me put them up on the screen right now. Cozy Earth bedding. Okay. First of all, how did you sleep last night? If you're in the chat threads, tell me, how did you sleep last night? How did you sleep last night? I sleep in catnap increments, okay? The Memorial Day sale still going on right now. If you go to CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, why I love them, life-changing luxury. I got to have great sheets. I do. I need to change my life in two-hour nap increments. It's the best-selling bamboo sheet set, made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo, which makes them naturally temperature regulating and breathable, so you'll sleep more comfortably all year round. Cozy Earth sheets are uniquely soft and only getting softer with every single wash. And let me tell you something right now. There's a 100-night sleep trials, which means you can have up to 100 nights of sleep on them. Wash them. Try them out. If you're not completely in love, just return them within 100 days for a full refund. A full refund. Did you hear that? Wash them. 100 days. Try them out. You will love them, or they will refund your money 100%. And all their products also include a 10-year warranty against defects, whether it's luxury bedding, ultra-comfortable loungewear, plush bath towels and more. You'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. All right. So if you've ever tried or you've never tried Cozy Earth, we've got some awesome news. You can save up to 35% off Cozy Earth right now. But hurry, this offer is not going to last. You have to go to CozyEarth.com and enter our promo code LFA at checkout for up to 35% off. Enter my promo code LFA at checkout for up to 35% off. That's CozyEarth.com. Promo code LFA. That's CozyEarth.com. Ladies and gentlemen, have you been following? Have you been following the closing arguments from President Trump's trial? We still have people, regardless of what's being said, regardless of the closing arguments, regardless of the overwhelming evidence. Prosecution now making closing arguments. That's happening right now. We're about to go to the jury. Now, if President Trump, I would say even if there is a hung jury, if there's a hung jury, that's a win. They're now making their closing argument, and the closing arguments that were presented by the defense essentially are summed up just exactly the way I have it in today's title. Highlighting Cohen is full of, you know what? Full of, yes, exactly. If Cohen's full of shit, Cohen's full of shit, you must acquit. That's it. Cohen has been found to be a liar over and over and over again, and even committed perjury on the stand. The jury saw it. President Trump's attorney destroying the Soros prosecution in his closing arguments. Featuring and highlighting Michael Cohen's testimony. The entire thing hinges on a liar. I was going to phrase it in a different way, but I don't want to pick on Stormy Daniels. And it was very inappropriate to find, you know, a word that rhymes with acquit and is attached to a stripper pole girl. Didn't want to do that. He's the greatest liar of all time. President Trump's defense closes with an all-out assault on Michael Cohen's credibility, an absolute takedown. Trump's attorney wrapped up the defense's case on Tuesday by taking a sledgehammer, and he did, to the former fixer Michael Cohen's credibility, reminding the jury of Cohen's past lies. Blanche is his name. He took multiple jabs at his character during closing arguments, nicknaming him the MVP of liars and the human embodiment of reasonable doubt, according to multiple reports. Blanche highlighted a long list of individuals Cohen has lied to. He lied to his family. He lied to his wife. He lied to his kids. He lied to his bankers. He lied to his prosecutors. He lied to a federal judge. He lied to Congress, the Federal Election Commission, and every single reporter he talked to for about a year. Blanche emphasized that Cohen also lied to jurors, arguing
it's Prince Spaghetti Day.
Yeah, that's right. It's Prince Spaghetti Day. Stay focused. The attorney argued he committed perjury on the stand by claiming that he made a phone call on October 24th, 2016, to talk with Trump about the Stormy Daniels deal. Through text messages Cohen sent to Trump's bodyguard, Keith Schiller, on the same day, Blanche demonstrated during cross-examination that Cohen really called Schiller to ask for help handling harassing calls he was receiving from a teenager. Uh-oh. Birds flying high. You know how I feel. Sun in the sky. I got my grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Did you hear my microphone and the slurpiness of the swallowing of grape soda? I hate that. Hey. Now, my lovely bride is here, and I just want to make sure I clean up my act here. Please disregard anything I said. I said Cohen's full of shit. You must acquit. And that was a cleaner version of what I originally wanted to use. Like, Stormy Daniels shows her blank. You must acquit. And that wasn't appropriate. So, right, Deb? So I cleaned it up quite a bit. Yeah. Thank you very much for putting the asterisk in there, because it's very inappropriate to have a thumbnail with the full, you know, right? You know what I'm saying? And I definitely didn't want a booby up there. No, we didn't. Thank you very much. Hold on a second. Hey, don't go away. You want to come over here and sit down with me in my cubicle? What do you think? What do you say? Huh? You know what? There's something really sexy about me being required to stay at this microphone and not come over there and kind of, you know, conjugate with you. You know what I mean? It's just, it's like that, right? The thrill of the hunt type thing.
It's Prince Spaghetti Day.
Yeah. It's Prince Spaghetti Day. Please go away. No, stay here. I mean, don't. Are you mad? She's crying. Don't do that. It's my lovely bride. Ladies and gentlemen, she is my lovely bride. There she goes, bringing me my cocktail because, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. So, Blanche, tells the jury that Cohen falsified the business record to open the bank account. He lied to the banker to get the bank account. It was a lie, Blanche said about that telephone call. It was a lie, Blanche said of Cohen's testimony per Politico. That is perjury. Perjury. Blanche also pointed to Cohen's admission to stealing $60,000 from the Trump Organization, stating that he's also a thief. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So these are facts. Like, it's really, really bad when the attorney is allowed to just come right out and tell the jury about perjury and about thievery. It's really, really bad. It's almost unprecedented. It will be unprecedented if they, in fact, render a verdict of guilty while the lead witness has committed perjury and admitted to stealing money. Blanche asked jurors if they are familiar with the acronym GOAT, which stands for Greatest of All Time. Michael Cohen, Blanche said, is the GOAT, the greatest liar of all time. Upon hearing this, one of the jurors, a young woman, cracked a smile and began laughing softly. Nice! You know what? Can I get a touchdown symbol, please? Can I get a... right? He shoots. He scores. Blanche earlier told the jury, there's no proof beyond Michael Cohen's words that Trump knew anything about any of those records or Cohen's activities. Let's see if we can pull this up. Will we be able to do that? Let me see. Let's see. Let's see what we have. Do we have the right channel? No? Can I find one? Can you help me out? Mr. Board Operator, can you do that instead of just letting me flounder like a floundering flounder fish? Help me. Help me. Huh? Do we have any audio coming out here? Do we?
That's what they're doing right now, is they're going through
sketches here from the likes of the artists Jane Rosenberg and Christine Cornell, two of them.
Jane Rosenberg.
Depicting what they're seeing in their artistic interpretations of today.
Let's hear this right now, just very briefly.
Put aside reasonable doubt.
This is CNN's audio.
Put aside being a former Justice Department official. What do you think in your gut? Because we are being told that jurors are told, don't put your common sense away at the door when you enter that jury room. In your gut, do you think Donald Trump knew? In your gut, I'm saying it. Not beyond a reasonable doubt, just at a bar over a beer.
In my gut, he probably did know. But I can't put aside my being a lawyer and saying 51% likelihood.
No, but you're a lawyer, but that's my point.
We've got to get to 95. That's the challenge for the prosecution, Jake, is that, look, I think they can put on a case and you can make very credible arguments that they got to the 55% likelihood that Trump knew based on circumstantial evidence, based on inferences, based on Michael Cohen's testimony. They can get to 55%. But I think what they're having a hard time doing is getting up to that 95% they need to get the jury to convict.
Are we not taking these? Are these percentages, is this actually taught in law school, 95%,
55%. No. And I'm saying, when he keeps saying 95%, there's 5% reasonable doubt then. So it's definitely
any reasonable doubt is reasonable doubt.
Any reasonable doubt is reasonable doubt, and that is enough to acquit, period. And we are arguing that all the time as defense lawyers. If you have even one reasonable doubt,
that
you can give a reason for, you have to find the person not guilty. I mean, that is the law.
So it's kind of incredible that anybody's convicted when you think of that.
Oh, it is.
So nobody actually.
Yeah, and I just want you to know everything was all set, ready to go. Here, you know what? Let's show everybody what I have to deal with. By the way, everything works perfect. Then we go on the show, and this kind of crap shows up. All right, right in the middle of the show. That's CNN. Okay, we should leave that. We should just play that. Please stand by, everybody. Look at, we got John Brennan in our freaking computers. Can you imagine? Beyond a reasonable doubt. They must acquit.
On my feet, objecting, morality.
As a prosecutor, you would, but not as a defense attorney.
Right. That's what
you said. It's the law. Those jurors should be freaking arrested if they vote to convict him. Oh, LFA producer, everybody check it out. Indiana Pete is on the front cover thanks to the fantastical, almost Disney cinematic, artistic skills of LFA producer Eli, who's in the house. That thumbnail, and I didn't get a chance to thank Eli. That thumbnail is, I'm talking like that's. I look like Indiana Jones. How'd you make that happen, LFA producer? No. That was Alan Grant from Jurassic Park. yes. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Eli, the producer. So Blanche said regarding Cohen, he told you a number of things on the witness stand that were lies, pure and simple. Blanche told jurors they could not send someone to prison. Here it is. You ready? You cannot send someone to prison based on Cohen's words. Cohen was the only witness who directly tied President Trump to charges at the heart of the case. Trump was indicted on 34 felony counts for allegedly falsifying records related to reimbursing Cohen for the payment he made for a non-disclosure agreement with porn star who had body parts that rhymed with acquit. Don't talk like that. Seriously, get your mind out of the gutter. All right? Seriously. Come on, you guys. Judge Juan Merchan took issue with Blanche using the phrase send to prison, calling it outrageous, and saying he should know better as a former prosecutor. According to multiple reports, he granted prosecutors' request to issue a curative instruction to the jury about that statement. Yeah, but you know what they say, ladies and gentlemen? Repeat after me. By the way, did everybody give a big round of applause, shout outs, cheers? The crowd goes wild. to LFA producer Eli and thank him for the epic. Like he is like the Pixar artiste of LFA. Okay. Everybody thank Eli for the awesome job. But can I get a big round of applause, Mr. Audio Board Operator? Big round. Do we have an applause button? Big round of applause for an epic job done by President Trump's attorney. Just burying. And I mean burying. As a matter of fact, Gidget, the lovely Gidget, here she is. Oh my goodness, you guys, look at her. Sean, does your heart melt when you look at that? Sean, that's Miss Gidget. She's one of the most spectacular, loving specimens. My goodness. Even Gidget says that Michael Cohen is a piece of dog poopy. Actually, dog poopy is a much higher standard and much more respectable than what Michael Cohen is putting out. That's Miss Gidget. All right. Let me say something here. I think I could say something here. I think I can. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you, support our sponsors, right? Name one of our sponsors right now. Somebody name one real quick. Name one really fast. Name a sponsor right now that you know of. Name the sponsor in the chat room right now. The first person to name the one that I'm thinking of right now. Name a sponsor. It's easy. You ready? Who? How can you support? Hey, Pete, watched your AM show. And the hottest pepper is the Carolina Reaper. You sure? I've heard multiple things. I heard the Scorpion, TWC, Coney ain't worth giving a dog a shit sandwich to. That's right. Beef Reserve. That's a good one. Beef Reserve is, we're going to get Beef Reserve on LFA. Cardio Miracle. That's another one. All right. Now, without switching screens yet, I'm going to show you. I'm going to let you listen to one way a sponsor of this show, right, is... JeremyHerald.com.
Build a wall.
You can go to JeremyHerald.com.
Build a wall.
And get
build
your
wall, 10 feet, 20 feet, 100 feet tall.
Since the minute he became a candidate in 15, I was intrigued and curious. Just like
go to JeremyHerald.com. Oh, you definitely need to order Cardio Miracle, but that's different. LFA TV store. LFA TV store. You get your baby. You can get your rapture ready gear. You can get your you can get your LFA banana hammock for all of you Santilli Report fans, right? What is a banana hammock?
Making under 25k, you pay nothing. I think it's safe to say you're finally making something. But get up out
great
the way,
gear there. Really support us by going to wage way of thinking you'll be nothing. Go to JeremyHerald.com. Please do that ASAP. I'm going to ask you something. A lot of people, they want access to us. They want to interact with, you know, with Deb and I especially. What is the preferred way for you to get in touch with us? Like, what do you prefer? Email? You want to call us directly? That's stupid. You get in line, you know. Don't call us. Oh, that's dumb. Sean, how many hours am I on the phone every single day? How many hours am I not on the phone? That should be the question. Have you ever seen me not on the phone? Zero, he said. Zero. Page and Stroke, Fanny and Wade, Cohen and Stormy. All failures, says Dre 1080. That's right. Dre, put something up about Dre. Can we do that? That's clean? Clean Dre something? No, that's Dre 1080. You're absolutely right. You want to come over and have coffee, Jamie WV said. Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Give away a coffee event, huh? Sit down and have coffee. Yeah. I love Dre. Hey, keep it clean.
Guess who's back? Still doing that shit, Andre.
D-O, double G.
Check me out. It's still Dre Day. Can't keep it home a lot.
Shut that off quick. That I'm known to hurry. It is.
My last album was the Chronic. They want to know if he still got it. They say rap's changed. They want to know how I feel about it. You ain't up on pain. Dr. Dre is the name. I'm ahead of my game. Still puffing my leaf. Still with the beats.
Yeah, Dre. Still rock my. Dre. 1080, that's absolutely right. Please don't disgrace dog poop. Exactly. Nick's dad said, I would like to take Pete to the firing range. That ain't gonna happen. No. Dude, like, I feel like Nick's dad is like family, okay? You're from Ohio, right, Nick's dad? Anybody that says, hey, I want to go to the shooting range with you, that kind of concerns me. Whole bunch of people at a gun party. Yeah. No, sorry. I'm not going to be doing that with you. Not because I don't trust you. I just don't trust the system. Okay. I just don't. I got Goombas after me. I'm telling you. All right, this is what I'm going to. No, I don't have that available. I set it up for our morning show. That should be fine. You guys aren't going to be offended if it says Trumponomics. Have you guys been tuning in to Trumponomics in the morning? Is everybody tuned in to Trumponomics in the morning? I got yelled at by somebody who in a previous life was so insistent on throwing up charts and putting everybody to sleep and shooing all of our viewers away. People over here on our side of the spectrum, we're steak and potatoes people. We're not big chart people. I could show you, right? Sean, isn't that true? Sean was our barometer. He said, wow, that's really boring. We said, you need to change that up a little bit. Those charts suck. And doesn't matter how much you over-explain them. Nobody's going to understand or even care about that crap. Right? It's like running into a freaking cow pasture and screaming at all the cows about, you know, why they're not dealing with gold-backed currency. The cows will look at you like, what the frig is wrong with this guy? Gold-backed currency. We're just here pooping and eating. Stop. Shut your cake hole. Isn't that true? Anybody care about charts? Trumponomics. What is that pig squealing noise for? We need a cow noise. We need a cow noise. All right. Here, put this up on the screen. We're going to give you... No, quiet. We're going to give you guys an opportunity to get in touch with us. Stay in touch with us. We really want you to reach out. And here it is. We're going to put... this is like our telephone book. You can text us. Send a text to 844-837-9924. Send us a text. Say, hey, Pete, you're a piece of crap. Have a nice day. Bye. Okay? Send me a text directly to that number. You can send a snail mail to P.O. Box 30122, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45230. You can also send an email. And if you want to scan that barcode, it'll pre-populate a text, and it'll set you up to just send us a text. I boiled some peanuts with Reapers, and it run me and my wife out of the house for a while. boiled peanuts with Reapers, huh? Is it really that bad? Where's Ivan Raiklin? Why did somebody just shout Ivan Raiklin? Is he in the house? Is Ivan Raiklin in the house? Somebody said, Ivan Raiklin. They just shouted Ivan Raiklin in our chat room. But anyways, up on the screen, send a text to Pete, 844-837-9924, or scan that barcode or pre-populate it. You don't even have to dial anything. It'll, I think it starts, hey, Pete. So send us a text, please. Send us, you know what I prefer? Fill out a 3x5 index card and say, hey, Pete, shut your cake hole, and stick it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and send it to me. How come nobody's sending snail mail anymore? We used to get quite a bit. Why? Why do you think that's so? Why is everybody slowing down on doing just the simple things that are so important? So important. Keeping close personal contact with each other. A handwritten note is priceless, I'm telling you. So drop that in the mail. Again, put that up on the screen. P.O. Box 30122. That's 30122. Cincinnati, Ohio, 45230. All right. And the remaining moments that we have here, let me share something with you. I better have, let me put it up on the screen here. President Trump.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank you.
It very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it very much. Great.
Okay. President Trump was with Tim Pool. Did you guys know that? For an interview at one of his most recent rallies. Okay, please tell me. There we go. Oh. Really? Is that it? We still have John Brennan in our computer? Can you freaking imagine this crap? Unbelievable. Give me a second, folks. Give me 1 second, folks. Unfreaking believable. Oh my God. Dude, can you imagine this happens to us? Can you imagine? Are you imagining it, Mr. Sean? He said, just as long as I don't get yelled at, everything's fine. Right? Didn't he say that? Okay, put this up on the screen. President Trump was with Tim Pool.
That was fun.
We better win. We're not going to have a country.
Yeah. We're excited. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I do. We're friends with your junior and Cass.
Yeah, we better win. Look at how relaxed he was, by
young
the way.
Young people. Surprisingly, immigration is a top issue for them now. I was talking to a young guy. He's 26. He says he's watching what's going on in New York. He owns a business. He can't afford to buy his own house. He struggles to be able to support a family. And I know that you've said that there's going to be the largest deportation effort in your next term. How do we do it?
So millions and millions of people are coming into our country. And it's not necessarily exactly what we want or had in mind. They have open borders where people just flow in. And many of those people are coming from prisons. Many of those people, frankly, are murderers and they're drug dealers. And they're coming from mental institutions. And they're coming from places that are not going to work very well. It's not going to be very good for our country. So we're going to start with that. And we have to get them out. No country can sustain what we're going through. I believe the number is 15, 16 million, could even be 17 million people right now. Is that's more than almost, that's bigger than almost all of our states.
I think it's freaking out young people. How do we do it, though? I mean, is it going to be new personnel?
It will really be done with local police. You know, the respect has been taken away. The honor has been taken away from our police forces. They're not allowed to do anything. And whether it's libertarian or not libertarian, people have to have, you have to have law and order. You can't have 500 people walking into a department store and just walking out with everything they have. And we have to give honor and respect back. And I believe immunity, because, you know, so often when a police person does their job, they end up with no pension. They end up with no house. They end up with no family. Everything's taken away from them. They have to get their own lawyer. So we're going to give them back their dignity and their strength. With the local police know the criminals that we're talking about. They know their first name, their middle name, and their last name. They know everything about them. And we're going to have to let them do that, and they will bring them in. We have no choice. And these are in many cases, and this is from all over the world, not just South America, which is big enough. But they're coming in from the Congo. They're coming in from all parts of Africa. They're coming in from all parts of Asia. And it's an invasion into our country, and no country can handle this. So we're going to have them taken out. Local police, we're going to work very closely with the local police, and it's been done before. We had Dwight Eisenhower, believe it or not, did the biggest deportation. He pretty much stopped it. Strange that we mentioned Eisenhower, because you don't think of him that way, but he did a massive deportation where people were pouring in.
Wow. Local police. It's not a unique concept. I can't believe it's the 57-minute mark. That goes again. Listen, I could play this real quick. Here it is. Kash Patel, here's his recommendation. Everybody with clearances.
So I pledge to you total attack.
That's not Kash
Patel.
Can
I add a couple of things to that that I recommended to President Trump, and whether he'll do it or not is up to him, obviously. But immediately, you revoke forever everyone's security clearance. That everyone's security clearance that ever participated in an illegal act that was not prosecuted. Oh, everybody that signed the 51 Intel letter, I'm talking three secretaries of defense and CIA and NSA, deputies and everybody. Because what the world doesn't understand is those swamp monkeys rely on that security clearance to go out and get their $10 million payday in the defense industrial complex. And do you know who is the sole arbiter of security clearances? The president of the United States.
But boom. 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 By the way, that picture keeps showing up on the screen. You'll notice that's Sergey Dubin, and he was on the front porch of the White House. He's a friend of John McCain, a Ukraine Azov Battalion Nazi. Okay, the FBI won't tell you that he didn't show up on the FBI's most wanted list. That's it. Are you kidding me? Oh, what? Keep playing that. That's very appropriate outro music. You guys, I'm so disappointed to be leaving, but then again, I'm so happy that you're in good hands with Sean Farish coming up right after I throw the baton to the immortal. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you tune in tomorrow and each and every day, Monday through Friday, exclusively right here on LFA TV for Trumponomics, kicking us off. And then we go to Rise Up and the best lineup of content of any other network. Goodbye, you guys. Don't forget, send us a text, send us some snail mail, send us an email, get in touch with us. I want positive affirmations from everyone.